For women, it's never been easy breaking into male-dominated fields. That was the case for Susan Marsh. She's the author of a new book called A Hunger for High Country. It's a memoir about how her childhood love for nature led her to become a landscape architect for the U.S. Forest Service. Marsh is now retired and writing a natural history of Jackson's Cache Creek. We took a walk, and Marsh talked to me about her years of struggle during a time when the Forest Service hired very few women.
So along here we have Oregon grape, bluebells, more, these are little rock crests that the hummingbirds particularly like. Oh, here's a favorite. This one is leopard lily. It doesn't look like much from the top. It's all green, but then when you turn it upside down...
Well, I grew up in the 1950s and early 60s near Seattle, Washington, and right behind my parents' house was a pretty extensive woodland area, and so that was my backyard, my playground, and I climbed trees and I made forts and I did all the stuff that kids do. When I was 9, I came home from school one day and I saw there were pretty tall trees, and I could see the trees were kind of swinging around, and I'm going, oh gosh, an earthquake. And the ground isn't moving, but the trees are. And then I saw the bulldozer. And I did watch the bulldozer tearing apart the blackberry patch that my mom and I used to pick berries in, and my climbing trees and all this stuff. And, you know, a 9-year-old doesn't really get what's going on. And nobody bothered to tell me anything that was going on. And I was just hysterical. And I started waving my arms and shrieking. I went out after the workday was over and surveyed what was left, and I had a little pocket knife, and I was going to carve into this madrona tree, "Don't cut the woods down," you know, as if someone was ever going to see this. I realized how futile that was in some way. And I think that's what attracted me to going to work in conservation and also going to work for the public lands. I think the thing that turned me to geology was a professor I had who happened to be a young woman at a time when I think she was the only female faculty member. And it wasn't that as much as just her enthusiasm for her subject. She would wave her arms and talk about how beautiful the place was, and there's this great outcrop up the road and we have to go see it, you know. And I thought, boy, somebody who can get this excited about some sandstone, I thought there must be something more to this. So I did major in geology. Oh, and this one is one of my favorites. It's called meadow rue, and the leaves look kind of like a columbine, but look at these are male flowers, and the anthers hang down, and they kind of remind me of little Japanese lanterns or something. My colleagues who graduated with me in geology almost all went to work for mining companies. And a lot of them would write back to me from places like Alaska and say, you know, I really have mixed feelings about this because I'm out here prospecting for some kind of mineral that's going to end up, if they find it, you know, ruining the place. And it's so beautiful. And I love what I'm doing, but what's the result of what I'm doing? And I thought, I really don't want to do that. I got to find something else. Toward the end of my undergraduate time, I met the man who is now my husband, and his sister worked for the Forest Service. She was paid to go hiking, basically, and I thought, this is the job for me. So I went to graduate school and got a degree in landscape architecture, and I think that is what really got me into the Forest Service. And so I started my first Forest Service job in November of 1980. And a lot of the people I worked with liked to joke around, and they treated me as a colleague, and it was fine. But there were a few that just, I think they felt like I shouldn't be there because I was female, or it was even more subtle than that. Everybody would stand up and go to lunch, and I'd be sitting there, you know, nobody'd say, hey, come on. And so I kind of got used to that, and I was already somewhat used to it because of I went into fields of study that were also mostly men. And after 2 years, I was ready to move on. So I started applying for jobs, and the one that I got was in Bozeman, Montana. That was in 1982. One of the first people I met when I got to the Gallatin National Forest was the hydrologist, and who I always considered a nice guy. And the first question he asked me was, "Are you a bra burner?" And I'm going, "What? What kind of a question is that?" I finally figured out, you know, I was so flat-chested from the time I was, you know, in my teens. It's like I haven't owned a bra since I was 14, and I didn't need it then. Then the problem became, okay, I was female, and so were several other people who were also very interested in conservation. They didn't rubber stamp every timber sale that came along. And so a lot of us kind of got blackballed, and some of that was top management. I didn't see anything getting better. In fact, things were getting worse for me. A new forest supervisor came along and had a very us-them attitude about Forest Service employees versus environmentalists. And he saw me as disloyal. And I thought, okay, I gotta get out of here. Their circumstances made it possible for me to come to Jackson. Basically, I was recommended by one of those environmentalists, and instead of saying, oh, it's the enemy, he was saying, well, we want somebody like that. When I first got to this forest, I was the only person on the management team who was female. And several of the district rangers got out of their chairs to shake my hand, and I just about fell over. There was one woman who was chief for a short time. Women in regional forester positions are not uncommon anymore. And we have, in this forest and region, we have women both at our local forest and in the regional office. So, you know, that's changed. There's a lot of high status women in the Forest Service now. Oh, that's called prairie smoke, and that's for the seeds that make these little feathery structures that look like smoke when you have a whole bunch. It's really important to stay with the mission, because I think the mission is such a worthy one. Clean water, clean air, healthy forests, products, yes, but also places for people to get away from even a small town like Jackson, with all the noise and the commotion, to come out here on a trail and listen to the water and the birds. I mean, that is such a gift. And this one is called Sugar Bowls. And another common name for it is Grandma's Nightcap, because it kind of looks like, you know, an old nightcap. But that's another.